So today's message on the 10th of May 2026 is entitled Finishing Well. Finishing Well. It's not a well as in water. It is actually completing something in a timely and good manner. Finishing well. I'm going to start with a reading from Philippians 1 verses 1 to 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That would be finishing well, wouldn't it? My previous sermon was entitled The Marathon, if you remember, and it was meant to make us think about our walk as Christians. The joys and pains of running or walking or crawling sometimes, a race that we began when we answered the call of Jesus in our lives. At that point, we believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. We began the race of a lifetime that would inevitably cover some pretty rough ground along the way. But that would be offset with the joys of having a new life with hope and promise. This message is similar in some ways to that one, but focused more on looking towards finishing that race well. How can we make sure that we don't get disqualified along the way? And also, how can we make sure that we finish well? Heidi's message last week was entitled, Are We There Yet? Something that resonated with people because most of us are looking forward to our eternal destination and sometimes have a habit of focusing on that more than enjoying the journey itself. The first song we sang this morning is a classic example of that kind of thinking, that way of thinking. There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. It's a great song that has an evangelical message. And that message is that we can go there for one reason and one reason alone. That reason is repeated every time we sing the chorus, which goes, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. And the second part of the chorus or the refrain goes like this. All our sins are washed away and we can live together. Now we have this hope because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face and we will dance together in the city of our God because of you. The destination is superb. The song states that there is no more pain, sadness, tears, sickness, or death. There is everlasting joy, gladness, and peace. And there's a wedding and a feast for us. All because of what Jesus did for us through the cross. His death and his resurrection has paid the price for us to go to that precious destination. All he asks for is that we believe in the one that God sent. In fact, this is actually what is written in John 3:18. Says, as we all know, perhaps, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Believes in him, being Jesus. But whoever does not believe in Jesus stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, maybe you believed as a child, but now, well, you're not too sure anymore. Is that enough? to get you there, to your final destination? What should we be doing to work out our salvation then? Is it enough to attend church for christenings, weddings, funerals, for example? Perhaps you've been christened and confirmed. Is that enough to finish well? John 6:28-29. Speaking of Jesus, then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." As in, believe in me, Jesus says. You know, one of the most sad things to do as a believer is to go to a funeral where it is clear that those attending, A, don't believe in Jesus, and there is no mention that the person who died had any kind of faith in Jesus Christ either. Maybe he was or she was agnostic or known to be an atheist, and they were proud to share those thoughts. The service might well be in the local parish church or another Christian denominational building, but the signs to a believer are fairly obvious. Secular music, perhaps a recording of something from the Beatles or Elton John or, I don't know, the Spice Girls. Perhaps lots of focus on his or her favourite football team. Or a picture of him or her on a motorbike. You know the kind of thing. Either a feeling of hopelessness or delighting in the person without any appreciation or reflection on his or her creator. He or she, in effect, did it their way. Seems reasonable to many people who think that life is, well, it's just for living, isn't it? So make the most of it before you die. Just do it. But for those who profess to be Christians, who have faith and hope in Jesus Christ alone, what then? Well, the atmosphere should be significantly different. Yes, there'll be tears of sadness and grief from those who have lost a loved one, but the underlying atmosphere should be of joy and peace, thanksgiving, because the death of a believer is not about hopelessness or just focusing on what they did as hobbies or work or profession. It's often a time to praise God and worship the one who not only brought that person into the world, but also escorted him or her out of it into his presence. Now that is an example of finishing well. So next week, we have a funeral here in this chapel, the chapel I'm preaching from right now. It's to worship God primarily and give thanks for the life of a precious brother in Christ. There's no doubt about where that man is now. He finished well and is in the presence of Jesus, his Saviour and friend, simply because at some point in his life, that man believed and was baptized and spent much of his life serving God in a way suitable to his gifting. In fact, as an evangelical Christian, until he became unsteady on his legs, he used to preach here in this chapel at this lectern. There's a chair over there that he used to sit in. And his last ever sermon, to my knowledge, is on our website still. And in the sermon, he talked about how he was looking forward to being in the Lord's presence. And I believe that's exactly where he is now. Not because of anything that he did, but because he knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus had already done everything for him. That's the kind of funeral I like to attend. Isn't it you? A funeral of hope and thanksgiving that someone has finished well. But we who remain, what should we be doing to make sure that we finish well? Well, Paul's letter to the Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Do you get that? If we do not give up. Not give up what? Well, believing would be an obvious answer to that, wouldn't it? If we believe in Jesus more and more and trust in him more and more as we grow older, then we'll be more and more interested in the things that he said, that they are indeed important, and we'll be drawn towards his word in the Bible more and more. But the problem with people like us, though, is this. And you can see this just by looking around you right now. We have a tendency to get lazy and lose interest. We tend to stop praying. We tend to become unreliable, not to do the things that we know that we ought to do, etc., etc., etc. And if that was the case with the Apostle Paul, then you can count on having a similar problem, because Paul admitted this. That's Romans 7:21 to 8:5. Paul confessing that he has a problem. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." That's difficult to get your head around that, but read it again on your own. "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature I'm a slave to the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." So there you have it. It's not going to be easy to finish well unless we live according to the Holy Spirit. We need to be tuned into God's voice by recognizing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we're in this together, people. We all need each other's help and support and encouragement. Coming to church regularly is great, but if that's all it is to you, then you could be wasting your time. Especially if you think that that in itself will increase your chances of getting into heaven. I need to tell you, it won't. It won't. How can it? However, if by attending church you are seeking God and his plans for your life, then I believe you will find answers. If you go to church seeking God, and for him to reveal the plans for your life, I believe that you will find answers. Hebrews 11:6. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." You don't. If you're just going to church on a Sunday and Christians and whatever else, Are you earnestly seeking him through doing that? That's how I came to believe in the first place. Something in me would not leave the most important decision in my life alone. Although I didn't understand God and he frustrated me a lot, I was determined to get closer to him and uncover who he is and what he does. I'm so glad I did that, because that's when I met Jesus. My salvation is not in doubt, because it really doesn't depend on my performance. It depends totally on Jesus' performance. And let me tell you this, his performance outperformed everybody's performance. He finished well. In fact, he finished very well. Very, very, very well. When he paid the price, it was paid absolutely and in full. Never to be paid again. Nothing to do with me and nothing to do with you. Except that it was for you and me. So if you want to finish well, you need to be in Jesus. You need to be in Jesus so that you will also finish well. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 21 reads, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin, or to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In him. Are you in him today? First, if you're not already, be reconciled to God. Second, stay in Jesus. Third, keep going and finish well. I'm going to finish with the reading from Hebrews 10:23-25. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When that day arrives, we will all be finishing, hopefully well, and in Jesus. Father, I thank you that you've made it abundantly clear that we need to be in Jesus, in Christ, and remain in him, so that he's not ashamed of us when he comes, Lord, and that we are not ashamed by what we're found doing at the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.